Hey everyone, Cheryl just stole my line. That's how I start, Cheryl. I always say, happy Sunday. And she ended with that. So happy Sunday again. but seriously, everyone, I hope everyone is feeling happy right now. After listening to Cheryl, I got to hear a little bit of it. I have people in the house though, so I was also turning around and visiting, so I didn't hear all of it. Cheryl's going to be here in about a month. You know, she arrives on Halloween and we're at October 2nd, so it won't be too awful long before Cheryl will be here. We're looking forward to that. Teddy is coming the week before Cheryl. And then rumor has it that Zoe and Devin will be here, I think next week Zoe and Devin are supposed to be coming. So we have a busy month coming up, plus we have a study with the scribe, and we have some guests coming there. We also have a new resident. Our friend Tom is here. He arrived last night. He lives at Holy Spirit House on Donna and Ruby's side. So, just lots of people around here, and that's, of course, always fun. Right now, we are here for Holy Spirit Guides. That is the period of time that has been set aside. Oh, we have hello, Tom, from Jill. Saying hi to you. Did you get to meet Jill and Kathy?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't? Oh,
it's still...
Okay, well, Jill, you have to go meet Tom then later. as I was saying, we're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the time period that is set aside in order for me to share from the personal messages that have been given to me by Holy Spirit to be helpful. And right now we're in that time period where the messages that I received were actually given to both Laurent and me. And tonight we're going to be looking at a message called The Most Effective Way. Which makes me laugh. I'm sure it's very good. But I would like to point out, I would like to point out, before I read The Most Effective Way, I would like to point out that Holy Spirit also gave Laurent and me the simple way, the easiest way, and the best way. So really four ways, all with really nice names to choose from. The simple way was the way of realizing that all ideas come from the mind. And I think when we went over that, the next one. The easiest way is the one Donna said she was using at the time. So the simple way is the way of realizing that all ideas come from the mind. The easiest way is the way of realizing that all experiences come from you. And that's the one you said you were using.
At that time.
Yeah. And then the best way is to remember truly what you want. And I mentioned that... that's the way that I was using at the time when we went over this message. All those three ways, the simple way, the easiest way, and the best way, are in the message called Zero Code is Zero Code. So tonight we're going to look at another way. Now you can take it. February 11th is the date. We're going to look at the most effective way. So let me give you all a link to the message. Okay, there's the link to the message, The Most Effective Way. And what I'd like to do before I begin reading that message, of course, y'all know me well, I want to say a prayer. So if y'all would just join me in the prayer, I would appreciate it. So Holy Spirit, right this moment, as I close my eyes, I feel gratitude for what I like to fondly call the stairway to heaven. I remember that John Mundy teaches a few ways of awakening. I don't remember what they are, except I remember one is the crash and burn, You know, and we've looked at people like Byron Katie, Eckhart Tolle, Jan Fraser, they may have gone the crash and burn way since they were in very difficult times when they suddenly had an awakening experience. But the stairway of heaven seems to be the path that I'm on. It's a path that began with a first step and willingness at that first step, acceptance at that first step, and then a shift. And with the shift came the next step, which began over again with willingness, and then acceptance, and then a shift, which took me to the next step, which began all over again with willingness. With each step, I go back to the beginning. And yet there is clearly something that I'm going to call an ascension. This path of gradual awakening, which is also the path of gradual letting go, gradual ascension, the stairway of heaven. It seems to me to be a very gentle path, and to be honest, a really fun path. I enjoy the experience of the shifts of mind. And yet, Spirit, as I pray gratitude for the stairway of heaven, the path that I have known, I do want to say that I am not attached to the stairway. What I truly want is awakening, full and honest awakening. And so whether we continue on this stairway to heaven, or whether there's a crash and burn in sight, or some other spontaneous realization through deep meditation or any other form, I do not care. I surrender to you in absolute and complete trust. Amen. All right. So I think a few people have popped into the room since I gave the link. So let me give the link again. And this is the link to the most effective way. Whatever the heck that is, we'll find out in a moment. This is a message dated February 11th, 2008. And again, it was a message given to Laurent and me. And here we go. Holy Spirit is speaking. Your will is everything. This is a lesson I have sent you to learn. This is the lesson you have wanted to learn because it is your will to learn it. Now that the lesson has become clear within your awareness, now that there is no doubt as to what must be done if your goal within this lifetime is to awaken, now that you realize your goal is to awaken and your will is the way, I would like to talk to you about ways you can increase your will to awaken. Now, it's funny because he's using the word will here. But A Course in Miracles and NTI both would have used the word willingness. It seems to me, and I could be wrong about this, it seems to me like I remember Laurent saying right here in the room maybe, that one reason he feels that the word will was used is because he didn't know exactly what willingness was, or he wasn't real comfortable with the term willingness or something like that. And he feels that's why the language was changed to will. But there isn't really a true difference between the two. And I may have told you all before that I once looked up the word willingness. Since I've lived in Pueblo, I didn't look it up at the beginning of the path. I looked it up since I've been here in Pueblo. But one day I just got curious, what the heck? You know, I knew what it meant for me, but I got curious about what Mr. Webster thought it meant. So I looked it up, and it said consent. And that made perfect sense to me, consent. You know, in other words, if we still love this world, if we still love this personality body, if we still, some people I think love suffering, if we are still very attached and this is what we want, we're not going to awaken because we don't have the willingness for awakening, or we don't have our will placed in that direction. We really want to be here. Lord Blue has a question. So go ahead, Lord Blue, put in your question. We really want to be here. And so if we really want to be here, then here is where we shall be, you know, through the freedom that we are the Son of God. If we want to awaken, then we need to be willing for that. We have to be open to that idea. Now, Laura Blue says, when it says, referring to the message, when it says, "This is a lesson I have sent you to learn," could it also mean a totally different thing? That I have sent you to this world to learn this lesson. Lord Blue, I don't actually know the answer to your question. And so I'm not going to make one up. There are things I don't know, and I'm happy not to know them. But one of those things is, what happened before this lifetime? You know, it's funny because when I received the calling to be a scribe for Holy Spirit, it says in that calling, it asks me to write for Holy Spirit and to teach what I write. And one of the things it tells me is it says, this is how you will learn. But it also says to me, this is why you are here. And when I heard that, this is why you are here, there was some kind of a feeling that I was sent into the world for this purpose that I'm living out now. And so if that is true, that I was sent into this world for this purpose, then yes, it could also be true that I was sent into this world, or that we were sent into this world to learn this lesson. But because I don't know that for a fact, and because there is some conjecture there, I'm going to leave my formal answer to the question, I don't know. I prefer to be safe than lead someone in the wrong direction. I learned how to keep Lord Blue from asking a second question, a third question. You say, I don't know. Yeah. He says, don't bet on it. Yeah. So anyway, back to the point that I was making before. We really do have to, at some level within our being, want to awaken, be willing to awaken. But believe it or not, I don't feel that that has to be totally conscious. Because I'm not certain that Byron Katie, for example, would tell us that she had a conscious will to awaken. Not based on what I've read, anyway. Jan Fraser would say she did. She was on a spiritual path. She didn't really expect it to happen to her, but she had a conscious will for it. Eckhart Tolle maybe had a conscious will. Does anybody know what his path?
He doesn't tell enough of the story.
He doesn't tell enough, so we're not sure about Eckhart Tolle. I said something the other day when I was teaching that has stood out for me ever since. And so I'll say it again. When I was teaching on Friday morning, when I was teaching from Jan Fraser's book, I made a comment about how I felt that I was too unworthy to hear the Holy Spirit when I first started studying A Course in Miracles. And I mentioned that when I was at lesson 77, there was something that Jesus said, and I don't even know exactly what he said, but there was something that Jesus said. By the way, Kathy says Eckhart didn't have a conscious will to awaken. Okay. There was something that Jesus said that led me to make a firm decision that actually I was worthy to hear the Holy Spirit, and I would. And what I told you guys was I can't really explain how that decision was made. I said I couldn't even teach anyone else how to make the decision. I said the decision itself was a miracle. And that idea has been with me ever since because, you know, we are so identified with the thinking mind as what we are. We don't really realize it's not what we are. And so that isn't actually the level where decisions are being made. So I don't think there's any way for us to predict when a decision is going to be made within our self, within our, you know, maybe you want to call it soul, maybe you want to call it heart. You know, I could decide at the intellectual level over and over and over again, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy. But if it's only at the intellectual level and somewhere else inside of me that I don't quite know what to call, but that decision hasn't really been made, it's not made. You know, we often try to assess how far we are on this spiritual path. We compare ourselves to others. And I just think that's all foolishness. The truth is, the will that is really driving us or guiding us, maybe a little bit of both, is not a fully conscious will. Even if we are consciously in alignment with it, the true power of awakening is not conscious. So as we're reading this message, the most effective way, where Spirit says that our goal is to increase our will to awaken, realize that this is not an intellectual pursuit. Realize that this increasing of will to awaken is happening inside of you through what many people would call grace. And I really like that word, through grace. And maybe what you need to do is simply be consenting for it. Not saying no. But don't try to work too hard. I know that there are some people who, I'm going to say, suffer from their practice because there's an effort in there that is not the effort that's really being asked. It's an ego effort, and it doesn't seem to be getting people anywhere, and they get frustrated. So more than that, efforting, try to stay back into a trusting that you are being led perfectly, that everything is being undone, that your will to awaken is increasing. That's what's brought you here to hear this message, for example. All right, so let's go on to the next paragraph then. The most effective way to increase your will to awaken is through awareness. Whenever I speak of awareness, I am speaking of seeing or noticing or being aware without judgment. And the words that are italicized here are without judgment. The effort I talked about before, the practice effort that some people get kind of stuck in, there's a lot of judgment in that. There's a lot of judgment in that type of effort that I'm not practicing enough. I'm not far enough along. I'm not as good as somebody else. I'm never good enough. There's a lot of judgment in that efforted practice. So that efforted practice is not happening with awareness. Awareness, at least for me, has a trustfulness about it and a relaxed state. And even a feeling that I'm always doing good enough. So again, he says the most effective way to increase your will to awaken, remember, this is not an intellectual decision. This is a decision that is being made in you at another level, right? So what you want to do is allow the decision to be made more than force the decision to be made. Is this making sense? Yeah, it's an allowance.
It's an invitation.
It's an invitation. So the most effective way to increase your will to awaken is through awareness. And whenever I speak of awareness, I am speaking of seeing or noticing or being aware of without judgment. In reality, you cannot be aware with judgment. Judgment is the tool of illusion. So by definition and through purpose, whenever you judge, you are choosing illusion. And so you are also choosing not to be aware. Illusion is not seeing as it is. So illusion is also not being aware. So he's made a really good connection here. And by good, I mean helpful. A really good connection here that we can remember, even those of us who don't remember much of anything. What he's telling us is that we are never in a state of awareness when we are in a state of judgment. It is impossible to be in both places at the same time. And he's also telling us that being in a state of awareness is the state that increases our will to awaken. It's not the intellectual decision, it's the unconscious decision. Lord Blue says, this message began in an unusual way, and it is getting more awesome as you read more. That's good, I'm glad. But again, we cannot be in judgment and awareness at the same time, and it is through awareness that we increase our will to awaken, which means the best way to increase our will to awaken is by not judging whatever. Whatever. You know, if, I don't know, Donna did something right now.
I tend to be a button pusher lately.
Okay, so she's pushing my buttons. I don't know how she could. Right now, I can't imagine how, but let's say.
It was terrible. I know it's going to be terrible. You're an awful
She's button. Insulting my cooking, and I haven't even gone upstairs to cook yet. Okay, now that's upsetting. Thank you, Donna. Okay, so she's pushing my buttons, and I get mad, you know, whether I say anything to her or not is irrelevant. I'm going to be aware of that anger in me. I'm in awareness if I'm aware of that anger in me without judgment. I step out of awareness when I start calling myself a bad core student, or you can never, you know, you'll never be as peaceful as that person over there, or, you know. So it's not about whether I get angry or not. That's, I mean, my God, look at Byron Katie. She was in a shithole, you know. She didn't attain some state of peace before she awakened. She attained some state of hell. But there had to have been something in her, although it wasn't conscious, there had to be something in her that was totally ready and totally willing for awakening. And Spirit is saying the way that we get to that same state of readiness is through non-judgment, or said another way, through awareness. Whatever our current state of mind is, whether we would be more like Byron Katie's state of mind, or, you know, more like, think of somebody you perceive as really peaceful, their state of mind, is not as important as, can we be in that state of mind without judgment? When we be in that state of mind without judgment, something in us relaxes. Something in us opens up in willingness, and it allows the decisions to be made, whether they're stairway of heaven type decisions that allow shifts, or whether it's going to be a sonic boom and a sudden awakening. It's through acceptance. Okay, the next paragraph. Holy Spirit says, the most effective way to increase your will for awakening is by being aware of the ego. The ego is something you do not want, but you do not realize you do not want it when you are blinded by illusions. When you are blinded by illusions through judgment, you create the illusion of choose between. Choose between is a trick, because it seems to give two options and to hold one above the other. You then feel attracted to the one that seems to be held above, and you believe you have chosen something you want. But you have not chosen something you want. You have simply been blinded by the false glimmer of the ego, so you would not look at and be aware of the ego. If you were to look at and be aware of the ego with the natural, unblinded heart of the Son of God, you would know that you do not want it. All right, well, let's talk about what the ego is, because, you know, there's all kinds of ideas about the ego, and in this particular paragraph, Spirit has a very specific definition of ego. Ego is the belief that I can make decisions. The independent I, right? This is why awakening never occurs with a conscious decision, because every conscious decision reinforces the idea that there's an I making decisions. An awakening is the vanishing of that I. You don't vanish that I by exercising it. You understand? Does that make sense? So what he's saying is every time we think we're making a decision, that we think we are making the decision, we reinforce the ego and we're unaware of our reinforcing of it. Now this is why the teaching of, it's in NTI as well, but it's really clear in the teaching of Inner Ramana. This is why the surrender practice that is taught in the teaching of Inner Ramana is really, really helpful. Because if you practice that the way that it's really taught, you know, you're always asking, what am I to do now? How am I to see this? What am I to think? What am I to say? And if you're really practicing that, you do not get the feeling that you're making decisions. You're following, maybe. But you don't get the feeling that there's an independent I making decisions. And in fact, through that process of surrender, the independent I, the idea of it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. That's the purpose of that practice of surrender, to break that attachment to mind. Now, NTI, Romans, defines judgment as decision-making. Often when we hear the word judgment, we think of good or bad, like I like Regina's cooking or I don't. Like, that's judgment. But if you think you made the decision about whether I'm going to go to Regina's house for dinner or not, that is judgment. See, and there's not the good or bad in it, right? He's saying... Yeah, Ruby told, and I told Ruby, so see, nobody decided, yeah. But, you know, if you feel like you made the decision, you know, about whether you're going for dinner or not, if you think, I thought about it, and I thought, well, I could be doing this or this, or I could be doing this or this, but that, you know, after I thought about it, I decided I'm going to go. All of that is judgment. Even though there's not a good or a bad opinion, that decision-making process, that analyzing, that thinking, that is judgment, and that reinforces the ego. And so he's saying when you're caught up in choose between, when you're caught up in the idea that I can make decisions, you are not in awareness. You are in awareness when you just feel this intuitiveness about what you're going to do and you follow it. Right? You're in awareness when you just feel it. I mean, that's really how I came to invite them over for dinner tonight. I just felt it. I could see it. I could see them coming. I could see what I was cooking. I don't feel like I even thought about it. I just saw it, and then I followed up with the invitation.
That's how Tom showed up here.
Yeah, that's how Tom showed up here.
Just felt to say yes.
Just felt to say yes, yeah. So you see, when you're following that intuitive way of discovering what you're going to be doing, then you're not in the choose-between land, you're in awareness. I'm going to go on to the next paragraph. Know that whenever you choose to listen to judgment, whenever you choose to believe that one option or possibility is better than another, you are also choosing to be blinded so that you do not see. I'm going to take a sip because I want to pause. And then I'm going to read that sentence again. In fact, I see Lord Blue's hand up. In just a moment, Lord Blue. I'm going to read it one more time, then I'm going to take a sip, and then I'm going to read it again. Okay, you ready? Know that whenever you choose to listen to judgment, whenever you choose to believe that one option or possibility is better than another, you are also choosing to be blinded so that you do not see. All right, sip. Okay, again. Know that whenever you choose to listen to judgment, whenever you choose to believe that one option or possibility is better than another, you are also choosing to be blinded so that you do not see. How many of us think about that when we think we're in a decision-making process? When we're thinking, I have two options here, I have to decide what I'm going to do, I'm not sure whether I should take this flight or this flight. You know, think, 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 think. we're not at all, you know, the thought that we're probably not at all hearing, because we're probably so caught up in decision making, which is ego, that we're not listening to Holy Spirit at all. It's like blocked out through our involvement in our problem. So we're not at all thinking, wait a minute, I'm choosing to be blind right now. But if you think about it half a moment, you might see it's true, because the more thinking you do, the less likely you are to feel an intuitive awareness of what you're supposed to do. And so you lead yourself into confusion. So you are being blind by thinking. I will tell you, I had a decision to make today. And had I used the thinking mind, it would have been a very difficult decision. And I don't think it would be made yet. I would have been pulling my hair out over it. The decision was as simple as, do we use the Israeli travel agent to book our flights to Israel? Now, the apparent problem is that I got the quotes on what the prices will be, and right this second on Expedia, if we booked our own, it's cheaper. So I asked him a couple questions about that, you know, just to make sure I was understanding everything correctly. And he answered the questions exactly the way I expected him to. I was understanding everything correctly. Another part of the potential problem is that if we could go ahead and say, okay, everybody, it's cheaper just to book your own flights, do it. But if everybody doesn't get on the same flight to Israel, then we have, you know, transportation problems in Israel. But even more, the people who sign up, you know, in April may not be able to get the same rates we're getting now. They may have very expensive flights. So the question, you know, the seeming problem was, do we do what's best for the individuals, or do we do what's best for the group? And I could have gone back and forth on this for days. But I didn't have to, because I could just feel the answer. And the answer, by the way, was let the travel agent book it. I didn't even have to think. I could feel it. I could feel the answer. But if I had got all caught up in the thinking, I may have lost my ability to feel the answer. This is what we're talking about. So we're blind when we're caught up in decision making. We're not in awareness when we're caught up in decision making. All right, Laura Blue, thank you very, very much for your patience. Could you please let me know your question now? Question. Is willingness a decision? I'm going to say no, not an intellectual decision. I'm going to say no. I'm also going to say that we can't really judge whether we have willingness or not. I have seen people that I perceive as having great willingness telling me that they don't. You know, so I don't think that we're accurate judges of our willingness. But no, you know, I'll tell you something that Muji said, which when he said it, I felt an inner confirmation, an inner agreement. Or maybe it wasn't Muji. I take that back. It wasn't Muji. It was Ramana Maharshi's grandnephew. I think his name is Ganesan or something like that. I read it in the Human Gospel of Ramana Maharshi. He said that if you are even on the path at all, if you have felt any calling at all, any desire, attempts to study spiritual material, desire to be around spiritual teachers, if you have that at all, he says grace has already called you. Otherwise you wouldn't be on the path. So he actually says that it is not truly an individual decision. Grace has called you. We are unraveling because grace has asked us to unravel. It is our time. Yes, it is love. All right. So whenever you choose to listen to judgment, whenever you choose to believe that one option or possibility is better than another, you are also choosing to be blinded so that you do not see. When you realize that this is what choose between is, you will naturally Oh, sorry, I threw in the word naturally. It's on the next line. When you realize that this is what choose between is, you will begin to lose your desire for choose between. As you naturally no longer experience the desire to be blinded, through an observable awareness that this is what you have been choosing to do, you will also naturally begin to choose differently. And this is the beginning of the end of choosing judgment. So again, he's saying if we even watch our getting caught up in decision making with awareness, without judgment. Remember, awareness means without judgment. If I had gone around for a week on this decision, I had felt lots of stress, and I'd written everybody emails and looked at the varying, you know, opinions, and you guys know what this is like, right? We've all done this, right? If I had done that, if I could at least observe myself doing that, observe the stress in the head, observe what I was feeling, observe my worry without judgment, he's saying, I will learn I don't want to do this anymore. I'll see it clearly. And as I learn I don't want to do this anymore, there's a decision that happens again inside where it's going to seem like a natural evolution of, instead of going into the thinking in the way I did, there'll start being a desire to check for guidance, check for prompt, check for intuition, check for what Donna calls pull forward. And it doesn't have to be a conscious decision. In fact, the conscious decision may not work. I mean, how many times have you guys made a conscious decision to quit smoking or quit eating whatever and kept right on doing it, right? We're not talking about conscious decision. We're talking about observing the current state of mind, the current habits without judgment. And just through the looking, an unconscious decision is made through awareness. And then we will experience that, you know, at the level of body, at the level of personality, by noticing, I just don't want to do this anymore. I want to feel my intuition. Okay, here's what I'm feeling. I'm going to trust. We'll start noticing. We'll start feeling our intuition. We'll start trusting our intuition. But we're following up on a decision that was made within through awareness, through looking without judgment, through just observing. I don't think that at the conscious level we can even begin to appreciate how powerful just looking is. In fact, it sounds like not doing anything. At the conscious level we think we have to effort and, you know, we just have no idea, because we have no idea who we are. We have no idea what level these decisions are actually being made at. But he's saying there's great power and great decision making that happens through observing wherever you are now without judgment, just looking. All right, Laura Blue, I see your hand is up again. What do you have for me? Follow up. So can we say that willingness is God's decision for us, coming from His love, and has nothing to do with us as individuals? The best way I can answer this, oops, I just lost my window. Hopefully it will come back. Yeah, there it is. The best way that I can answer this is by a message Holy Spirit gave me a long, long time ago. Some of you may remember it. It was the Barbie and G.I. Joe message. In this message, when Holy Spirit was really trying to help me understand that I am not this body personality, the symbol that was used was the symbol of a child playing with dolls. And that the child is the one that decides, you know, that Barbie and Ken are going to fall in love. And then the child is the one that decides that G.I. Joe is going to come and start liking Barbie, and Ken is going to get jealous, and and which one Barbie's going to choose. And he pointed to the fact that really the decisions are all made at the level of child. Now, is child pure God state of mind? My intuition says no. Child would be more at the level of what the Course would call the dreamer of the dream. And what we truly are is still beyond that. So it's kind of a level, you know, in between, I guess. You know, we try to make everything nice and black and white because we like it that way. I don't think everything is nice and black and white. Yeah, it makes sense. He gets that. So, you know, we have to go with the symbols. So, well, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we're Barbie and Ken and G.I. Joe. That's who we are, right? And it's this child that is really making this decision. And those are all symbols, but they help. But the decision is made at a level that's not, you know, you can consciously, I mean, I know, I have a friend who gets up every morning now and says, you know, today, dang it, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna practice really hard. And of course, she fails every day, you know, in her own assessment, right? I mean, that's what goes on. Every day, today's gonna be the day, you know, I'm gonna say my mantra, my workbook lesson perfectly. And then every day she, quote, fails in her own judgment. All of that is judgment, of course. But that intellect that's trying to make that decision is not where the decision gets made. What we're saying here is if that's your situation, if you're the one that gets up every day and says, today's the day I'm going to be, quote, perfect, and then you notice that you're failing and you notice that you're judging yourself and all of that, if that's what's going on, then you observe all of that without judgment. You may be judging, you may be observing the judging of yourself without judgment. You see what I mean? It's like there's a little show playing. And you want to step back from the little show enough to watch it without judgment. And through that, that's where somehow, somewhere, miraculously, the decision gets made where that trap that you're in of getting up every morning and saying, today's going to be the perfect day, and then quote, seeing yourself as a failure, is through observing that without judgment, watching the play of it, that somehow that cycle is going to get broken. That's what I'm saying. That's what Spirit is saying. That's why he says, as you naturally no longer desire to be blinded, right? Through observable awareness that this is what you have been choosing to do. See? Observable awareness. You're seeing it. Then you also naturally begin to choose differently, which means a decision gets made at a level that is not that thinking mind level. The thinking mind is not what wakes us up. The thinking mind is what keeps us asleep. You get the difference? The thing that keeps us asleep is not the thing that wakes us up. So you will naturally begin to choose differently as you observe whatever is now without judgment. You just look at it with awareness. Okay, next paragraph. The most effective way to increase your will for awakening is to be aware of the ego without judgment. That's what we just said, but Spirit is just repeating it for us in case we get lost in the message, because he, you know, used a lot of words, so now he's going to use fewer words. The most effective way to increase your will for awakening is to be aware of the ego without judgment. Again, judgment does not let you be aware. Remember this, and you will lose your taste for judgment. Awareness is watching, knowing, and seeing without attachment, but awareness is not lack of desire. Awareness is clear on desire without distraction, and awareness watches from the purpose of desire. In this way, awareness, without effort, directs everything through desire. This is not a conscious effort, although consciousness can be enlisted in support of it. Now, I love this sentence. My God, I love this sentence. Can you hear that? Listen to this. Please do not get confused, because if there's anything ego wants, it's for you to get confused right now. And this sentence, underline it, write it down if you don't have the message printed out or something. This is not a conscious effort, although consciousness can be enlisted in support of it. If your inner guidance, your intuition guides you, read this book, then read the book. If your guidance guides you, say this mantra every time you remember, then say this mantra every time you remember. If it guides you to do the course workbook, do the course workbook. Because that is the non-conscious awakening mind enlisting consciousness in support of it. Do you see? Yeah, don't get confused. Don't think, okay, well, Regina said it's not the intellect, so I'm going to quit, you know, saying my mantra now because that's just mental crap. Well, I mean, if you made up the idea and you know at the intellectual level you were just copying me and you just did a mantra because I'm doing a mantra and you know it's not your guidance, then yeah, drop it. Okay, drop it. Please, don't copy me. Find your own guidance. But if you know within yourself that you're supposed to be doing a mantra or self-inquiry or some other practice, you feel it, you know it, that is the non-conscious decision maker enlisting consciousness in support of it. Go ahead and do that practice. The next sentence says, this is simply the quiet power of awareness that is aware without the blinding distraction of judgment. We went to lunch today, and there was a lady that I met for the first time today. I think her name was Emily. Does that sound right? She was a sweet, sweet lady, wasn't she? And she was so excited, you know, as she listened to us talk, because somehow, and we really weren't talking a lot about, you know, who we are or what we do, but she picked up on the fact that we follow guidance. She didn't even use those words, but she picked up on it. And that made her so excited because that's what she does, and she didn't really know anybody else that did it. And she was so excited to be sitting around the table with people who did the same thing. You know, she was telling us how her family thinks she's crazy. You know, like her mind might want to read a certain book, but she says that she used the word heart, but her heart will be saying, read that book. And then her mind will say, okay, well, let's begin in the beginning. And her heart might say, no, let's begin on chapter 27. And, you know, she can feel the difference between what her mind is, you know, trying to get involved and what her heart is doing. And she's following her heart. And she was so excited to meet a group of people who also are doing that. That is that unconscious decision enlisting consciousness when it guides us to read a certain book, to listen to a certain teacher, to do a certain practice. You know, it says in NTI, it uses the example of a little child, a very young child, like around 2 or 3, probably 3, learning to tie its shoe. And it says if you watch the child learning to tie its shoe, actually it doesn't say tie its shoe, that was in the vision that I had while writing the book. It just says learning something. But in the vision it was that I had while writing it, I was seeing a little boy trying to tie his shoe. And it says, if you watch the child learning to tie their shoe, you know, they try, and they really just don't have the motor skills. And they try, and they try, and they can't do it, but they keep trying, they keep trying. And then it says, suddenly, like a miracle, they tie their shoe. Spirit says it didn't really come through the child's effort. You know, the truth is, he didn't have the motor skills. The motor skills suddenly appeared through his willingness. And the effort was just the outward symbol of his willingness. So whatever it is that makes us grow, right? I mean, if you watch a child, it doesn't matter whether they're from Africa, from the United States, from China. You know, if they're given the same opportunities, they will learn the same things around the basic time frame. There's a little bit of a variance, but, you know, they'll learn to crawl, they'll learn to walk, they'll learn to feed themselves, they'll learn to talk. They're not making conscious decisions to do those things. It's something that's not conscious that's causing them to grow, but it does enlist the consciousness in the practice. It's the same thing with us on the spiritual path. You see? The same thing that taught us how to walk knows how to lead us to awakening. And we all learn to walk. We will all awaken. We don't have to be worried about it. We just have to keep following that intuitiveness. Again, it's not choose again. The choose again is what we want to let go of. It's the intuitiveness. So the mind may be saying, that's a really great book, but if the belly, that's where I feel my intuitiveness, is the belly is saying, yeah, but grab that one, then go ahead and grab that one. You're not making decisions. You're not deciding between what the head says and what the belly says. You're just following the belly. You've let go of choose again. And if you're not doing that, if you notice you're still caught up in decisions, which book should I read, blah, blah, you know, all these thoughts, so-and-so said this about this book, and so-and-so said this about this book, then observe that. Just look. Don't judge. Don't judge yourself for, quote, not hearing Holy Spirit. People say that all the time. For not knowing your intuitiveness. Just observe whatever state you're in. And through the looking, without judgment, through the awareness, the change will come about, whatever change needs to come about for you. Kind of reminds me of the Course workbook lesson. Actually, it's not a workbook lesson. It's a line in the text. I need do nothing. Okay, so going to the next paragraph. Awareness is the way to increase your desire for awakening, because awareness is pure awareness of desire without distraction. In truth, as you have been told before, the Son of God has one true desire. This is the desire to know the Son of God. Now, what this is really saying, and this is super cool, I mean, at least I think it is, this is saying that awareness, this thing we're not consciously aware of, but it's there, that made us learn to walk and learn to talk and everything else, awareness knows we want to awaken. In fact, awareness knows we want to awaken, even if we don't consciously know it. That would explain how people like Byron Katie awakened. The awareness knew. Right? So awareness is fully focused on true desire, and awareness is not confused. Awareness isn't thinking, ah, geez, do I really want to awaken, or would I rather have one more romantic relationship first? You know, that's the intellect. Awareness isn't caught up in that. We can trust awareness more than we can trust the mind. If we could just learn to leave everything to awareness, learn to leave all of our following to intuition, let go of decision making, let go of thinking, we would glide. And in fact, we would glide so easily that we really wouldn't even care about when we're awakening. We would be happy right here, right now, knowing that everything was in process, that the end result was guaranteed, and we'd be what Jesus calls the happy learner now. Next paragraph. Awareness, without an intellectual conception of this desire, is this desire. Look at that. Awareness is not a concept. It's not, you know, the I think I want to awaken idea. Awareness is what he's calling awareness now. Awareness is that desire. I feel like the words are really failing here, but awareness is that which is awakening, is that gravitational pull to a certain destination. That's what awareness is. That gravitational pull to a certain, by certain I mean not just specific, but definite, unavoidable destination. Again, awareness is singularly focused. Your thinking mind may not be. Your conscious mind may not be. Your conscious mind may be all over the place. Oh, I like that word. Now let's see if I can say that. Inexorable pull.
Inexorable.
That's good. I don't know what it means, but I like it. Inexorable pull. A homing device, yeah. Perfect. That's what the awareness is. And see, we all got that already. So, you know, we could be appearing in our own judgment, and maybe even in the judgment of our friends, to really suck at this awakening thing. Right? I mean, I sit here and I read this book every day, and I get up and I do exactly the opposite. We could appear to really suck at this awakening thing. But maybe, at the level of our inexorable pull, maybe we're a whole lot closer than we think we are. Remember where Byron Katie was when she woke up, laying on the floor in the attic of a halfway house where none of the other inmates wanted to associate with her because she was such a bitch. And where she didn't even want to crawl into a bed because she thought she was too unworthy to lay in a bed. That was the conscious story. And yet her inexorable pull pulled her right into awakening anyway. So what if we just do our best not to judge whatever is our experience now? Because that's what Spirit seems to be asking here. And if we notice we're judging, then let's do our best not to judge the judging, right? Somewhere, step back and watch the show, no matter how attached the show is to the world, and also no matter how detached. I mean, I'm sure those of you who live a very detached life know that the ego loves to say, oh, I'm so detached. Right? So watch the detached show. Don't judge that as good. Don't judge the attached show as bad, and don't judge the detached show as good. Just watch the show, whatever the show is right now. Just watch the show and let the inexorable pull take care of your awakening. And if it enlists your consciousness through a specific practice, go ahead, do that practice. But remember that it's not the practice that's waking you up, it's the inexorable pull. All right, last paragraph of the message. Awareness is the light of the Son of God, because awareness is his awakened desire, known and unhidden by the misperceptions of judgment. In other words, it doesn't matter how screwed up your thinking mind is, your awareness is perfectly clear always. Hallelujah, right? You know, when we're identified with the thinking mind, if the thinking mind's all screwed up, we think we're all screwed up. It's not true. No matter how screwed up your thinking mind is, your awareness is perfectly pure, perfectly clear, perfectly aware. And that's true whether you're aware of it or not. Isn't that nice? So the name of this message again was the most effective way. And basically what he told us is the most effective way to wake up is just to watch the show without judgment. Let intuition guide you instead of thinking. And to be honest, that's something we can all do. And if we can't, if we think we can't, then start there by watching that. You see? It's nice because it doesn't matter where you are on that stairway to heaven. You could think that you don't even see it yet. Like you're still holding a map, walking around saying, where the heck is this stairway to heaven? I'm so lost, right? I'm so lost, you know? Doesn't matter where you are, you can start by watching where you are without judgment. Okay, well, I have 2 minutes left, but I feel done. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and let go of the mic, I guess. Maybe Dove has some stuff to say as he is introducing Roger. Roger's on next, I believe, if I have my calendar, you know, in my head right. Roger, by the way, I won't be hanging out. That's not because I'm not dying to hear you. I always want to hear everyone after me on Sundays, but I'm actually the cook here in the house, and it's always time for me to, after I teach, to go cook. So I miss everyone that follows me, even though they're always very interesting people. So have fun, Roger. And Dove, I turn the mic over to you. Bye-bye.